From Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, and KERA, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Stephen Becker in this week for Jeff Whittington. It is Friday, the 26th of June. We will be taking your questions and answers this hour. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. You can always email the show at anything@kera.org. We've got lines open and space available in that inbox, so we would love to hear from you this afternoon. A couple of notes following up from last week. Big thanks to everyone who came out to our live remote Anything show that was at the AT&T Performing Arts Center. It was really great meeting some fans of the show and taking your questions live there from the Performing Arts Center. We're going to try and get out and around in the community a little more often. If you've got a suggestion of maybe a place we should stop by, shoot us a note at anything@kera.org, and maybe we'll make it out to a place near you. And one more programming note. Since this coming Saturday, or excuse me, a week from Saturday is the 4th of July, we are going to be off next week. So no Anything show on Friday the 3rd. But the show will be back with Jeff in this chair on July 10th. Let's see. So starting off today, we heard from Martin in Carrollton, who says, we closed our office and need to dispose of some good condition furniture. It's got 5 to 6 desks, some cubicles, etc. And he says, to my surprise, the usual suspects, the Salvation Army, the Goodwill, etc., will not accept. Does anyone know who will take them? He says, I hate to pay for somebody to haul it off and trash it if somebody can use it. Sharon asks, if I plant Vitex, which is also known as Rose of Sharon, about a foot from the house, does it have the kind of roots that could go under the house and disturb the foundation? 800-933-5372 or anything@kera.org if you know the answer to those questions. Let's start off talking about the office furniture. Susie in Dallas, thanks for calling Anything.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, so you have a answer to our office furniture conundrum?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Okay, what is that?
Church, Royal Lane Baptist Church on 6707 Royal Lane has an annual rummage sale, and the total proceeds of that benefit our annual mission trip. This year we're working in Dallas, and so we take in that kind of thing to generate proceeds to help fund the expenses of the mission trip, not for our fee. Those of us that go still pay a fee, but the rest of it for construction or vacation Bible school or whatever. So if they will either contact me, and I'll give you the number off the air.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you can do that. And also, just give us the name of the church one more time.
Royal Lane Baptist Church.
Royal Lane Baptist Church. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Susie, thanks very much for calling. I'll put you on hold, okay?
All righty. Thank you.
And let's go to one other answer on that question. Let's talk to Lolita in Denton. Hey, thanks for calling Anything.
Yes, it's Lolita.
Hi. Yeah. So did you have an answer to the office furniture question?
Yes, I do. Actually, friends of the family will pick up all kinds of items of furniture, and because they're, you know, they're furnishing women in need who are trying to set up homes again, and they will pick up. The problem with Goodwill is you have to take it there,
right?
And
right.
So, and friends of the family will pick up. Just tell them how heavy it is, and they will either send one or two in.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the tip.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. 800-933-5372 or anything@kera.org if you'd like to follow up. We've got a couple more things that came into the inbox between last Friday and now. Jay wrote in, we were talking about flea control, and one of our listeners recommended diatomaceous earth, one of our favorite things on this show. And Jay wanted to point out that it's not recommended to use diatomaceous earth inside the house because it's not supposed to be breathed in. And he recommends vacuuming frequently as a way to help control those fleas. We also asked, somebody wrote in asking about their favorite gluten-free bakeries and wanting to get suggestions from our crowd. So Caitlin wrote in to say the best gluten-free bakery is Unrefined Bakery. There's one on Greenville, one near White Rock Lake, and one in Preston Center, and one in Frisco. So thanks, Caitlin. Billy also chimed in to say Reverie Bakery in Richardson is primarily vegan, but usually has at least a few gluten-free baked goods. And one other topic we were getting into last weekend was we had a either caller or emailer that had baby rabbits on her property, and her dog was starting to get interested in those, and she was wanting to figure out the best way to maybe remove those rabbits without disturbing them. Kay wrote in to say that the rabbits will eventually leave on their own once they're big enough, and that you can keep track of if the mom is visiting the hutch without disturbing the hutch by laying some dental floss over the hole in a crisscross pattern and sprinkling a little flour around the hole, and you'll be able to see the mom's comings and goings. So that sounds pretty low-tech way of finding out what's going on there at your hutch. Again, anything at kera.org or 800-933-5372. A couple more answers here on the office furniture question from Mort. He says, try the Benefit Store in Richardson. It's at North Central and Beltline. Let's see. We've got a question here from Diana, who wants to know, of all the rains brought in a lot of debris along the lake's shores, is the city doing anything to pick it up? So if you live near a lake, you might have noticed a lot of debris by the shores washed through from the rain. And are the various cities around here doing anything to take care of that garbage? Leo wants to know, why do some bridge overpasses use steel and others use concrete? I usually see the steel on the higher of the overpasses. So that's from Leo. And one more question here from Mark, and he says, I live in the city of Dallas, and I need to replace a failing wood fence around my yard. What I need to know is if I'm obliged to get a building permit to replace my fence. So if you can help Mark out, we'd love to hear from you at 800-933-5372. And why don't we go to the phones now and talk to Scott in Dallas. Scott, thanks for calling anything.
Yes, I was calling in regarding the caller who was interested in planting a Vitex plant close to a foundation. I'm a foundation repair contractor.
Okay.
Generally, we don't like to see trees very close to a foundation, especially live oak trees, because they are water hogs. They suck moisture out from underneath the foundation, which can lead to some settlement issues and other problems. A Vitex is essentially a large shrub, and my knowledge of that would tell me that it would not be demanding enough water to really be an issue with the foundation. So I don't think that's something that she should be worried about.
Okay, that's not something you've seen in your experiences around foundation, that those plants are causing any issue?
I've never seen a foundation issue that I felt was related to a Vitex plant.
Okay. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate your show.
You bet. Let's get another answer on that question. Let's go to Janice in Southlake. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree with the foundation contractor with regard that Vitex is a large bush and it doesn't have a lot of water requirement. However, it is large. So if this woman wants to plant it close to her house, it's not going to have enough room to grow and become shapely. Mm. Also, if it has to, it loves sun. So if it has to struggle to get sun, it will grow misshapen. It will grow towards the shade. Hmm. And I speak from experience on this. I had three Vitex that were planted in my house at my house before I moved in, and I had to remove them because they were struggling for the sun and they were too close to the house. And they can get up to 20 feet tall, depending on the variety.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. And let's get one more on the Vitex question. Let's go to Brandon in Louisville.
Hey, guys. Hey. I will say that I will concur with the previous two callers on this. I'm a horticulturist myself. I work for North Haven Gardens. And depending on the variety of the Vitex, putting it that close to the house, not really recommended. I usually tell people you want about 60 away from the house when you plant those, because they do get larger.
Yeah, how big do they typically get?
Yeah, depending on the variety, your typical original cultivar of Vitex can get 20, 25 feet.
Oh, wow. Okay,
tall.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small tree, basically. Foundation problems, not so much. I'd be more worried about the Vitex itself. And just a slight correction on the original question. Rosa Sharon is a kind of hibiscus. It's Hibiscus syringa.
Okay.
It's Rose of Sharon. Totally different plant.
Got it.
But again, even the Rosa Sharon, I'd give it a little room away from the house because it could not necessarily mess with the house so much as the plant would suffer for it.
Hey, very good. Thanks for the
All
tips.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks.
Let's go and get a question now. Let's talk to Robert in Dallas. Robert, thanks for calling anything. Hello, Robert. Let's try now. How about Robert in Dallas? Thanks for calling anything.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm in the market for an 85 Colonial Park station wagon, rear tail light, the lens to be exact.
Okay.
Or if there's a place in town or in the area that it could make them or duplicate them.
Okay, let's get that make and model one more time.
That'll be an 85 Colonial Park station wagon.
Okay.
Mercury.
Okay. Well, hey, Robert, we'll see if we can help you out, all right?
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling. You bet. 800-933-5372 or anything at kera.org. If you've got a question you'd like to ask or another answer, let's go back to the phones and let's talk to Ben in Carrollton. Ben, thanks for calling anything.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, I think I heard the question right about the overpass construction of concrete.
Oh, sorry. Shoot, Ben, I'm sorry about that. I think I accidentally hung up on you. I think that's probably my fault. Apologies there. Give us a call back. We'll get you right back on. In the meantime, let's talk to Gabby. Let's see. One quick change here. There we go. And let's talk to, actually, let's talk to Vanessa in Dallas. Vanessa, thanks for calling anything.
Hi.
Hey.
I was wondering if there was any K-barbecue places in Dallas, preferably all you can eat.
Okay. So you're looking specifically for a chain?
There we go. And let's
see. Okay, thanks, Vanessa. All right. 800, sorry about that. 800-933-5372 or anything at kera.org. If you'd like to answer Vanessa's question about barbecue restaurants in Dallas, I'm quite sure we will have opinions on that whenever we get into the barbecue topic on this show. We have no want for answers. Let's go back to the phones and try Gabby. Gabby, thank you for calling anything.
Hi. Hey. I just had something to add about the baby rabbits.
Okay.
The suggestion to kind of track mom's movings, comings and goings, I think the flower is a really good idea. I just kind of wanted to throw in an advisement not to use dental floss or other sort of strings around there.
Okay.
If the babies or mom are kind of chewing around on things, they could ingest that string, and it could cause a linear foreign body. Those are dangerous to, you know, domestic animals and wild animals alike. So
yeah, that makes a lot
of
sense.
Flower.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, hey, thanks, Gabby, for calling.
Thanks.
All right. 800-933-5372 if you would like to join the conversation. Going back to the inbox right quick, so let's get one more thing on the Videx conversation. This is from Pam in Plano. She says, never mind the roots, this shrub is more like a small tree at maturity. I've seen them grow 15 to 20 feet tall. Something with similar blooms or color and habit and water and sun needs, but appropriate size for planting up next to your house is Mexican bush sage. So maybe that's an alternative to the Vitex if you'd like to be a little closer. Matt has an answer on the office furniture question. He says the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store will pick up large items. So you maybe could give them a call and see if they can come out and take that. I believe that was Martin in Carrollton that was wondering about that. And one more on the office furniture from Kathy. She says, our calling is a homeless ministry in Dallas. They have a brand new building and they need furniture. Again, 800-933-5372 is where you can ask your questions or give us an answer. Or shoot us a note over at anything@kera.org. We'll be back in just a bit. It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA. I'm Stephen Becker in this week for Jeff Whittington. As we do every Friday, we're taking your questions and answers. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you at 800-933-5372. Or you can email the show at anything@kera.org. That's where we heard from Sean in Dallas who says, I own a 2013 Hyundai Sonata. I've noticed grooves starting to form in the rear rotors, like those on a vinyl record, which I believe indicates it's time to change the brake pads. But the front rotors are still quite smooth. These are the original pads, and it has always been my understanding that the braking power mostly comes from the front. What would cause the rear brake pads to wear out before the front? Is there anything else that could be causing these grooves? And can I bring my own pads to the mechanic, or do most require me to buy theirs? If you can help Sean out, anything at KERA.org, or give us a call at 800-933-5372. That's where we hear from Christine and Cannon. Thanks for calling anything.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Well, somebody asked about controlling fleas.
Right, right.
I have an animal sanctuary, and among the species are cats and dogs, and so we have had to fight fleas from time to time, let's just say with my pretty. And I don't like using poison. I don't like chemicals. However, I recently came across, maybe a year ago online, it's kind of expensive. It was a mixture of oil of clove and oil of peppermint that's kind of suspended in water. You shake it up and spray it. Everything smells wonderful, and the fleas were literally driven away. Worked great. You can actually spray it on a dog. Shouldn't probably spray it on a cat because they're very sensitive, although they say they can. My happy news is I recently saw it for about $5.50 for 32 ounces at Walmart, of all places.
Okay.
It works great, and it smells wonderful.
Hey, Christine, thanks for calling. Appreciate the tip.
Good luck with it. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Let's stay with the phones and talk to Lisa in Dallas. Lisa, thanks for calling anything. Hello, Lisa. Yeah, could you turn your radio down there? And if you have a question. Yeah, no, go right ahead.
Okay, so my question was, I've noticed over the past probably 6 months a significant increase in 18-wheelers driving down I-75, like between 635 and downtown. And I think it might have to do with the trade agreement that we have with Mexico, but as a concerned citizen, because our air quality is already terrible, what can we do about getting them back off I-75?
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can find an answer for you. You and I must have the same route to work in the morning, because I think I've noticed that, too. So thanks for asking your question. We'll see if we can find out at least maybe an explanation about what might be going on there. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. 800-933-5372. Let's go once more to the phones and talk to Peter. Peter, thanks for calling anything.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I work for the city of Grapevine, actually, and I'm calling in to reply about the question of cleanup around the lakes.
Yeah, yeah. You've gotten a lot of rain out there in Grapevine, for sure.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. So the city has very extensively planned cleanup efforts, and what I'm going to encourage all listeners to do, if you're in a flood-affected area, in Grapevine, we have Keep Grapevine Beautiful. It's kgvb.org, and we're going to be using a lot of volunteer help. So if you could help out in your local community, most cities have a Keep Texas Beautiful affiliate in their cities. Please reach out.
Okay. Help. Hey, thanks for the tip. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Again, that's 800-933-5372 or anything at kera.org. That's where we have a question from Alex, who says, our backyard has been invaded by cicada killers. We've tried a lot of remedies, but they return every year and more each year. Does anyone have a suggestion about elimination and or repellents? And while we're on the pest topic, Vineeth writes in to say, sometimes I see silverfish bugs in the restrooms in our house. Is there a season that they come in? Are they dangerous? And what can be done to get rid of them? A couple more things from the inbox. Question from Nicole. She says, actually, this is an answer about our office thing. She says, Dallas Furniture Bank will most likely take the furniture and they pick up. I believe you can go online and register your pickup. So thanks for the tip from Nicole. And one more on the pest control situation. We were talking about fleas earlier, and Jennifer wrote in to say, I had the best results from vacuuming thoroughly, underline exclamation point thoroughly, every other day for as long as needed. Also, a veterinarian recommended placing a flea collar in the vacuum bag to kill the fleas. That's interesting. That just might work. 800-933-5372 if you've got some more tips to add to our flea and pest control conversation. Let's go and talk to Shelly in Dallas. Shelly, thanks for calling. Hello, Shelley. Are you there? All right. Let's see if we can get Shelley back. And how about we talk to, let's talk to Jennifer.
Hello?
Yeah, Jennifer, are you there?
This is Shelley.
Oh, let's see. Sorry about that. Hold on 1 second. Shelley, yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, sorry about
that.
Okay.
So I have a question. My neighbors are doing construction. This is a residential property, and their crew is starting to show up earlier and earlier every day. I was woken up this morning at about 10 minutes after 6 by heavy equipment noises and, you know, yelling and, you know, back and forth between the workers. So I'm wondering if anybody knows what the actual legal times are that you can perform residential construction and what I can do to report these guys if they keep on waking everybody up at 6 in the morning.
Got it. And you're in Dallas, is that right?
Yes, city of Dallas.
Okay, so you want to know, like, basically, what is the legal time that somebody can start doing construction like this, and what to do if they're getting started a little early, huh?
Yes, and I'd like to know the differences, you know, if there's certain times on Monday through Friday versus, you know, Saturday or Sunday, and
got
just
it.
All the details.
Okay, well, hey, I would love to know those too, so we'll see if we can get an answer for you, okay?
All right, cool.
All right,
thank
thanks,
you.
Shelley. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And let's try again to, let's see, talk to Jennifer. Jennifer in Fort Worth.
Yeah,
thanks for calling.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. I think I accidentally picked you up earlier there, but thanks for holding through. And you had some details about the furniture pickup?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, willing to take it off of his hands. I just needed to get his contact information.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, let me put you back on hold, and we'll see if we can get that from you and take care of that, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. 800-933-5372. Is where you can give us a call again, or anything at kera.org. Oh, let's see here. Let's talk to Leroy in Denton. Leroy, thanks for calling.
How you doing? I was calling in reference to those questions about the increased truck traffic on US 75.
Oh, yeah. Do you have an answer for us?
A lot of the reason for that is that due to all the construction you have on I-35, it's a little safer to be over there.
Okay.
You have the narrow lanes, which makes it really hard on the trucks getting through there, and you have the unexpected rolling roadblocks, which kind of creates a dangerous situation.
So you think maybe some of these big trucks rolling through from, let's just say, north of Texas are choosing to go down 75 to be a little easier?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a time saving thing, and it's a safety issue because, you know, sorry, no disrespect to your neighbors there. I drive a truck now from Oklahoma, but with the narrow lanes and the crazy way some of y'all drive down here, well, it's just safer over there on 75.
All right, hey, that's understandable. Thanks for the cluing us in there. Thanks, Lori. All right, 800-933-5372 or anything at kera.org if you'd like to join our conversation again. Going back to some of those questions we got from the inbox, Alex was asking about cicada killers. He says, we've tried a lot of remedies, but they return every year, and there are more and more of them every year. Does anyone have a suggestion about how to take care of those? And Vineeth says that they're seeing silverfish bugs in the restrooms of our house. Is there a season that they come in? Are they dangerous? And what can be done to get rid of them? Maybe you can help us with the answers to those questions at anything at kera.org or 800-933-5372. Let's go back to the phones and go all the way to Worcester, Ohio. Thomas, thanks for calling.
Hi, I had an answer about the how to get the trucks off the road.
Okay.
You really can't, but the easiest way would be to quit buying stuff.
Okay.
But, it's impossible.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care. 800-933-5372. Anything at kera.org. Let's stay with the phones, and let's talk to James and Murphy. James, thanks for calling.
Howdy.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I've got two answers for you.
Okay.
And on the trucks, going down 75, the reason that they're usually going to be using that is because they're coming from the northeast part of the state or northeast part of Oklahoma or somewhere along that corridor, that it's the best choice for them to drive that.
Okay.
They're not coming from, you know, north of Denton 35, because logically it is a shorter distance and shorter time just to go straight down through Fort Worth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're a trucker, obviously time and mileage is probably very important to you, I would imagine.
Yeah, indeed. And then I've got personal experience with a really cool solution for the fleas.
Okay.
It's an organic solution that I found online, and some pet stores will carry it. It's in a refrigerated section. It's called nematodes.
Okay. Yeah,
and
beneficial
nematodes is a parasite that kills fleas and ticks.
Okay.
And it'll come with instructions on how to dilute it into water, and then you spray it out in the yard, and they latch onto the fleas and kill those. So if you stop them from their source out in the yard, which maybe the rabbits or whatever are leaving them in the yard, then they're less likely to get on your animals.
Okay. And tell me again where you found those.
I found them online one time at an organic pest control. But then I also found them at a kind of like a mom and pop type pet supply store.
Okay.
And they'll be in the refrigerated section with information on how to dilute them in water and then spray them in the yard.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the tip. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, take care. Let's go back to the mailbox. We got a question here from Jim. It's a two-parter. He says, I'm originally from Georgia, and I've been unable to find a traditional dish from my childhood anywhere in Texas. Country fried steak, or smothered steak, as it's known in Georgia, is a steak fried in the same manner as chicken fried steak, but it's different in the kind of gravy used. In Georgia, we use the pan drippings from frying the steak to make a brown gravy, and sometimes it has Vidalia onions added to the gravy. Here, I believe it's traditional to use white sausage gravy. Is there anywhere in the DFW area where I can get my Georgia favorite country fried steak? And while we're talking about food, he also wants to know, is there anywhere in DFW that sells boiled peanuts, another southern food that he says he is unable to find here in Texas? Question from John in East Dallas, who says, I volunteer for a nonprofit clothing exchange here in town. We need clothing racks in order to display the clothing items for our users, but do not have a lot of cash. What I'd like to know is if there is a source where I can easily find a list of commercial stores in Dallas that will be closing and thus might be selling their clothing racks cheaply or outright disposing of them. If you know the answer to either of those questions, we would love to hear from you at anything@kera.org or by calling 800-933-5372. One more quick answer from the inbox. About the 18-wheeler question from Churchill, who says, I-35 in Oklahoma has been closed due to a rock slide in the Arbuckle Mountains. So 18-wheelers are likely changing their route to 75 instead. That makes a lot of sense to me. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Tom in Grand Prairie. Tom, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Hey.
Well, it looks like you got the 18-wheeler question handled.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And it is because 35 is closed.
Okay.
But for the gentleman who had the problem with his rear brakes,
okay,
that is generally caused by a parking brake not fully releasing.
Huh.
And or if you drive a little gentler, your brakes will actually wear evenly.
Oh, okay.
And shops do not let you bring in your own parts.
Yeah,
so
I figured.
You're going to have to deal with what they have there.
Right. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the tips there, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, have a good day. Let's stay with the phones and get an answer to our construction site question. Dion in Dallas, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hey.
The start time for work in the city limits of Dallas is 7 a.m.
Okay.
And you can call and report people to 311.
So that was...
I recommend...
Yeah,
I'm
so,
sorry?
Yeah, you were saying so you could call and report if you have someone breaking that rule to 311?
That's right.
Got it.
Personal experience, I'd recommend not telling the neighbor that you have an issue with it or confronting them yourself. Just call anonymously.
Okay. Yeah. Take the easy route out, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the tip, Dion.
Sure. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. And let's just get one more on that question. Let's talk to David in Dallas. David.
Hi.
Hey, you wanted to weigh in on the construction time question?
Yes, and Dion is right. 311 is the appropriate number, but also want to mention that Dallas does have an app that you can download on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And that's helpful for reporting any issues, and they'll route it to the appropriate department, which in this case would be code compliance.
Okay.
I guess my response would kind of differ from Dion in that I would probably encourage them to talk to their neighbors first and maybe not have a bad relationship with them and to communicate with them, and most of the time the owners don't know that they're violating the code, so maybe talking to them first can resolve the issue.
Yeah, particularly if it's like a new construction, you know, clearly the person's not living there, so they may just be unaware that they are making a bad impression on their potential new neighbors before they even move in, I guess, huh?
Right.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the ideas. Really appreciate it. All right, take care. 800-933-5372 or anything at kera.org. Let's get one more answer on that office furniture question. Let's talk to Limerick in Dallas. Hello, Limerick.
Hello. Hey. How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. So you had an answer about the office furniture question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go right ahead.
All right. First of all, I would like to tell you many thanks for taking my call. And I'm the executive director for African Charities in Dallas.
Okay.
And we work with various organizations that brought in refugees from international countries, like the organization like IRC, Cali Charities, and then Cali Charities and the Refugees Agency as well.
Okay.
So normally we identify new arrival refugees in Dallas and their location. So we normally go in the house of Bible study with them. Because I'm mainly from the Prestonwood Baptist Church from Heart of Africa. So if you can call our number or African Charities, Dallas African Charities, .org, if somebody can go there to the website or call my number.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, let's hold off on the numbers. But one more time, you said the website was DallasAfricanCharities.org?
Yes, correct. www.DallasAfricanCharities, one word, DallasAfricanCharities.org.
Okay. Got it. Okay, so anybody who would like to donate through that, I'm sure can find you on the website. So, hey, thanks for calling and letting us know.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Take care. 800-933-5372. Or anything at kera.org. We've got one more segment of Taking Your Questions and Answers coming up just a bit. It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA here in Dallas. I'm Stephen Becker in this week for Jeff Whittington. We got one more segment of Taking Your Questions and Answers today, so let's hear from you at 800-933-5372, or you can give us a call at, or excuse me, you can email us at anything@kera.org. That's where we heard from Maggie in Fort Worth about the cicadas killers. And she says, cicada killers are large but harmless and are generally a sign that your yard is healthy. They seek bare soil to dig into for dragging a cicada, which is stung by the wasp, so it is alive but paralyzed and laying eggs on it. If you have bare soil, you might put out mulch. Cedar is quite aromatic, but bald cypress or hardwood might work as well. Put it out deep enough so they can't easily get to the soil below. And on the noise question, Annie says, dial 311 to the city of Dallas and complain about the noise. The rule is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. right now, and the neighbor should have a code sign in their front yard letting you know about that rule. And Jared also weighed in and says, noisefree.org, that's noisefree.org, is a city of Dallas page, says that the hours, of course, are again 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. So thanks for the clarifications from Annie and Jared. On the question about the food, Teresa in Fort Worth says she's bought boiled peanuts at Central Market there in Fort Worth. And Devin says boiled peanuts are available at Racetrack and Quick Trip, that they normally have them there. One more thing from the Anything box. We had a caller or an emailer ask about clothing racks. And Karen says you can make clothing racks out of galvanized pipe. Use the plastic shower rod sleeve to help the hanger slide. So that's a nice tip there from Karen. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can do that by shooting us an email at anything@kera.org or by giving us a call at 800-933-5372. And that's where we hear from Jared in Denton. Jared, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. Cool. Yeah, so I would just to add on to the giant cicada killers, they're actually an important part of the environment in that, you know, if you don't have the giant cicada killers, you end up with way more cicadas.
Okay.
But if you can't tolerate them, even though they're not capable of stinging you, if you just can't tolerate them buzzing around your garden and digging those holes, the mulch is a great idea. And I recommend a Texas product, composted cotton burr, because that does not provide cellulose for termites that might be hanging out in your lawn.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to be feeding them. And with any of the other mulches, even cedar, those natural insecticide oils do break down over time. So you have to replenish it or replace it. And then for the fleas, yeah, the nematodes are great for the lawn, as well as pretty much any strong botanical oil mixture. But the thing about carpeting is that they can actually get their eggs down into the carpet pad. So you have to, if you're doing a liquid treatment, you have to treat deep enough to get to that carpet pad. So I actually recommend steam cleaning and then doing your botanical oil treatment or food-grade diatomaceous earth treatment. If you're using diatomaceous earth for fleas, you got to make sure you're getting the silica-free food grade. Otherwise, it's very bad to inhale. The food grade is not ideal to inhale, but it's not going to kill you either.
Got it. Okay. Hey, thanks for all those tips. Really appreciate it.
Oh, and one other real quick thing on the truck, something no one has thought of, heavily investing into pure science research so that we can invent transporters to get rid of 18-wheelers altogether, just have transport stations around the country to transport our goods, or setting up a tertiary roadway system, you know, where you have a bike lane, a car commuter lane, and a transport lane for the 18-wheelers and construction vehicles.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get that going.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Get it through Congress for either of those. Good luck with that.
All right. Hey, have a good weekend.
You too.
Let's stay on the phones, and let's talk to Dave. We've been talking about this construction time question, and Dave, I believe you're in Fort Worth.
I am. And, you know, we can't forget that we're not just a Dallas-specific show. The Metroplex has dozens and dozens of cities.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, so the easiest way to find out about your particular city is to get on Google, put your city name in, type in code enforcement and noise and time, put those keywords in, and just about every city in the North Texas area will have their code enforcement rules online, and it should bring you right to the page that it discusses that.
Okay. Do you happen to know what the rules are there in Fort Worth?
Fort Worth, it varies, you know, with daylight savings time, but I think it's from 7 to 7 or 8 to 8, depending on the time of year.
Got it. Yeah, that seems to be a pretty consistent answer that we're getting. So, hey, thanks for weighing in, Dave.
All right, you bet.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. And let's get one more answer on the construction times. Let's talk to Gus in Denton.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so I would like to say, as a construction worker myself, I know that it can be a nuisance having a lot of it going around in your neighborhood, but right now everybody's just trying to beat the heat and get out there early and get it done. So if you could just keep that in mind, that'd be good too.
Okay, yeah, that's you guys have a job to do. So thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Bye-bye. Again, that's 800-933-5372 or anything at kera.org. We had one more question. We got into this atomic clock question a few weeks ago, and looks like we have a follow-up on that from Mike in Garland. He says, I have two atomic clocks that synchronize with the atomic clock in Colorado. They are consistently about 2.5 minutes slower than the clocks on my two computers and iPhone. I was wondering if anyone could explain why this is happening. You can answer Mike's question. We'd love to hear from you at anything@kera.org, or maybe give us a call at 800-933-5372. That's where we hear from Ed in Duncanville. Ed, thanks for calling.
Howdy.
Hey.
Cicada killers like to burrow in dry earth, and so if you don't have the mulch problem, what you can do is keep the soil moist and they won't come back. It's been too wet in our yard the last two summers to get the cicada killers. If you've got extra ones, catch them and bring them over. We'd love to have them.
Okay. Duly noted. Thanks a lot, Ed. All right. And let's get back into that barbecue question and talk to Ash in Dallas. Ash, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking. My answer is for Vanessa.
Yes.
A barbecue place. You can go to East Dallas, Bishop District. I have a chain there.
Okay. What's the name of it?
Lockhart.
Lockhart. Yeah, sure. Over there in Oak Cliff.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, thanks for weighing in.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Have a good day. And let's go next on the phones to, let's talk to Terry in Dallas.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi. I just need some advice from, I guess, an older mechanic. I have a 1959 car.
Okay.
And I suspect it has something to do with the new gases, but when I start it up, it starts fine. I drive it for 30 minutes. It gets nice and hot. I stop, go into the grocery store. I come out. It has to be like a time of 20 or 30 minutes that it has been sitting in the parking lot. And I come out, and it will not start.
Hmm.
And then I have to wait for it to cool off completely, which takes another hour and a half or so.
So when you, like, get up in the morning to drive it, let's say, and it's set all night, you don't have a problem starting it. It's that after it's warmed up, it doesn't want to start again. You said it's a 1959? What kind of car is it?
It's a 59 Chevrolet.
Nice. Okay. Well, hey, we'll see if we can get some advice for you, okay?
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for calling. Have a good weekend. 800-933-5372 if you've got some advice for Terry there, or shoot us an email over to anything@kera.org. I think we've kind of got the city times, construction times question answer, but if you've got other information that maybe we haven't gotten into on that one, we'd love to hear from you on that. Just like as that one caller said, you know, KERA broadcasts to, I think, like 30-something counties all across North Texas, and each one of them has their, you know, their own rules and regulations for stuff like that. So I'd be really interested to know if there are other cities that maybe have different rules than that 7 to 7, which seems like the general idea, 7 to 7 or maybe 8 to 7 on the weekends. But let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Ben in Carrollton. Ben, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. Hey. I think I heard the question correctly earlier. They were asking about the different types of overpass construction, like steel versus concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the reason for that is, first of all, the steel is more expensive, so they use it less often, but the steel is stronger, so they use that to cover longer spans. Like, they use that to go over freeways just because it's a longer, it has more integrity than concrete. But that's about all I know about that. But I actually had a question, too.
Okay.
My cat, we let him out in the backyard. And he tends to kill little garden snakes, and I prefer he not do that. So I was wondering if there was something I could do. I know this is the Diatomaceous Earth show, so maybe that's the answer. But I wonder if, like, I can get the garden snakes to stop coming in the backyard so he stops killing them.
I got it. So what does he do with them once he kills them?
He's not very nice to them. He just kind of, like, tears them up, and then we have to go find the poor little snake bodies. So.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll see if we can get an answer for you, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ben. And let's stick with Critter Talk for just a second, and let's talk with Joan in Dallas. Joan, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm calling about the flea problem. Veterinarians have a very safe and very effective pill now. You give it to your dog, and if a flea bites the dog, it dies within minutes, which keeps it from being able to lay eggs.
Okay.
It's been very, very successful for us.
So normally fleas, obviously when they bite a dog, they kind of stay attached to the dog. When the flea dies, does it fall off or does it stay attached? Or what's been your experience?
I couldn't really understand you. I'm sorry. I could barely hear you.
No, I was just saying when a flea bites a dog, typically you know they are attached to the dogs. Have you found that when they die, do they naturally fall off or do you still have to kind of take care of that?
Oh, you don't even know they were there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. We've got some answers on that atomic clock question. Let's talk to Steve in Carrollton. Steve, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hey.
On the atomic clock, the little gadgets that you buy really aren't atomic clocks. They're just receivers from the atomic clock in Colorado, and those are essentially little computers that try to stay synced up. It's not uncommon for them to lose sync and to get off. So if the caller who was saying that they are consistently off of what their cell phone is, it's likely that they've had a power failure, what they may want to do is just pull the battery out of their atomic clock receiver and let it reset itself. It's likely that they'll be back in sync with their cell phone if they do that.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the advice.
And on the 59 car,
oh, right, yeah.
That is likely to be a phenomenon called vapor lock, and that's caused by the fuel getting past its vapor point, creating a bubble that prevents the fuel from coming through the carburetor. It's pretty common in cars prior to 65. A mechanic might be able to make an adjustment of the carburetor to fix that. It could also indicate that the old fuel pump is getting weak.
Okay.
But it may be related to alcohol in the fuel, because alcohol has different vapor points than the gasoline. So could be fuel, could be a fuel pump, could be an adjustment needed in the carburetor.
So it sounds like maybe run it over to the mechanic and have them take a look at it.
Would not be a bad idea.
Okay. Hey, thanks for weighing in.
Yep.
All right. Let's get one more answer about that car question. Let's talk to Brett in Louisville. Brett, thanks for calling.
Hey, I was calling about the same thing. I agree with a lot of what he said. It may also be a stuck choke, she didn't really indicate that it was turning over, so I don't know if maybe it was an electrical issue as well. It could
be that's true.
An electrical connection could be overheating, and as it cools off, it just reconnects itself. But I would agree, it's probably related directly to the carburetor if it is turning over, but it's not starting. It's probably something either stuck or leaking, either causing a vapor lock or just flooding the engine out with gasoline.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, thanks for the tips there. All right, take care. Let's get one more answer on the atomic clock question. Let's go to Heather in Dallas. Heather, thanks for calling.
Sure. Hi, how are you?
Great.
The guy with the problem with his atomic clock, there's not really a problem. The farther east you go, Dallas is obviously east of Colorado, and time is advanced on the East Coast. The time zones are really just artificial lines, and if you were to look at an actual global map, something like, I don't know if you've ever heard of a geochron or anything like that, but it actually shows you that the time is incremental as you go east, and it's not like the time sets at the exact same time in every single place in the time zone. So as you move east, you are actually farther along on the clock. So he's off of a couple of minutes because he's that far east of Colorado.
Okay. Hey, makes sense to me. Thanks for weighing in, Heather.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that is going to do it for us for another week. Our show today was produced by Lindsay Connect. Fiona Norton took your calls. Shelley Canavy engineered the show. Just a reminder again, we're going to be off next week. We're going to be 4th of July-ing it on the 3rd of July. But we will be back on July 10th, and Jeff Whittington will be taking your calls and answers. Once again, I'm Stephen Becker. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.